because I got my headphones plugged into my microphone, mm-hmm. so I can use the inner ear because the outside ear hits the piercing and hurts. And so I'm balancing the level because I don't like hearing myself like I can if the volume's up too loud. So it's like balancing being able to hear you without hearing my own annoying voice.
Sure. Yeah.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm excited about...
why are you excited? What do you have to be excited about?
You're right. The world is falling apart and crumbling around me, and there's nothing to be excited about. I agree. You know what? We're done. Show's over. Let's call it, guys. There's nothing more to be excited about. Pack it in.
No, seriously. What are you excited about? Because I might get excited.
Here's the thing. I'm not sure you will, and this is probably going to be one of those topics where Danny... is basically going to feel like, oh God, they're talking about anime again, because I'm going to be talking about anime again. That's just a thing I'm going to be doing.
That's cool. I watched a couple of new shows.
Oh, well, this is more about One Piece. So, which you have watched some of, not a lot, but some of it.
Yes.
So basically, one of the head writer, Matt Owens, he was on a big collaborative piece with Rogers Base, who is a One Piece YouTuber. So first of all, shout out to him. And then also shout out to Brendan Hughes, one of our contributors, who actually legitimately was like, here is a YouTube video I know you will like. And it's the good stuff with the writer starts at this time code. So basically he brought it to my attention and it's allowed me to sort of find these stories, which are great. First of all, there's another great story about... this is an odd show. Like, this is a weird, because, I mean, you've seen some of it. It's going to be really hard to adapt into live action, right? Would you agree with that based on the way it feels?
And yeah. It's, well, I mean, first off, there's a lot of fluff. It's like a Dragon Ball type series.
That's the anime, at least. There's not in the manga. Some
fluff in the anime. Sure. Yeah, I don't know about the manga. But even without that, it's a massive fucking story with a lot of mythology, a lot of world building, a lot of everything, and then the characters themselves are pretty well thought out, have a lot of depth and history and stuff, mm-hmm. and yeah, even as a series. This is still something very, very difficult to do live action in my mind.
So, like, for me, it all has everything to do with, like, tone and how it's going to feel and how the action's going to look, how the visuals are going to look, and how this world is going to look in live action, because it's such a weird world. And honestly, the stuff that you've seen early on, at that point, it's still, like, kind of just generic, right? And it isn't until, I think, maybe around once they get to the Grand Line where it really starts to differentiate itself and actually become its own world. So it's a weird world. Like, there starts to become, like, you know, like cyborgs and, you know, mech stuff and all sorts of steampunkish type things mixed in with it. So it's a really weird world. But there obviously are some core elements that I think there should be for the show. And there are some opinions from Matt Owens, the head writer, as to what the show needs to be in live action. And he actually went on to talk about how, first of all, how basically the show saved his life. He says, I was in my early 20s. I went through really, really bad depression. I was trying to find a series I could watch that could occupy all of my time so I didn't have to do anything or think about anything. I had read One Piece when anime was really big for me in high school and stuff, but it didn't click for me at the time. And we all know the horrendous 4Kids adaptation. So I'd never really gotten into it. And for those who don't know, 4Kids was a dubbing company in America, and they basically edited the hell out of it. They basically chopped out like dozens of episodes. They changed guns into like weird, you know, water gun type things. And then they basically, they made it really bad. And there's an especially egregious part where it's like there's a character who gets shot in the face and killed, and instead they turn the gun into a giant finger and then said that they're going to lock her away in a dungeon for the rest of her life, and then you never see her again. So, like, yeah, it makes no sense. Anyways, he says, So I finally made a decision. I said, you know what? This is the time to watch all of One Piece. In a few short months, I caught up all the way from the beginning to Punk Hazard, which is pretty far into the shows right now. Anyway, he was talking to the author, Eiichiro Oda, who apparently was just like, you know, this wasn't his first rodeo. His stuff has been adapted like a million times, be it in animation form or video game form or whatever. So and you can imagine he's pretty, the walls are up when it comes to adapting, you know, for live action, mm-hmm. especially.
Is he as bad as Alan Moore, where he eats everything?
No, definitely not as bad. I don't think anyone's as bad as Alan Moore. Anyway, he says, I told Oda...
That person could take a photograph of Alan Moore and he would hate it.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, yeah. I mean, to be fair, a lot of people hate how they look in pictures. I hate how I look in pictures.
Yeah, but you know what I'm getting at. Alan Moore hates anything not illustrated that came from
I feel
him.
Bad how he like disowned himself from the Watchmen movie. And I was like, I feel like that was a pretty faithful adaptation. I'm not going to lie. I feel like it was impossible to be more faithful to that. I mean, I guess you could have had the squid at the end, but I think that what he had was made sense as well. But, you know.
Yeah, I enjoy Watchmen. Yeah.
Let
me get this out of the way before we continue down your road. Good morning, everybody. And I'm glad that we got a wonderful topic to get at to this morning. I am Kyle, and I am joined today by... Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, so he was telling the story about how he, the moment that he sort of gained the approval of Oda and how... and he says, I told Oda, one of the great things about One Piece is it's really a story about how everybody has tragedy, pain, sadness in their life, but it's not what defines you. What defines you is how you use that to motivate your future, and that no one has to do it alone. No one has to be alone. When you find those people around you who motivate you, lift you up, and help you, that's the greatest power in this world. And that is the story I want to put out into the world. So I know One Piece means a lot to you, Oda. It means a lot to me because I honestly think that One Piece saved my life. And then he said that Oda looked him in the eye and he held out his hand across the table and says, I have 100% faith in you now. So aww. That is the story behind that. And based on your limited...
How does that make you feel about the...
I mean, he's right.
Upcoming adaptation?
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't assuage my concern about the tone because that's still weird. Okay. It's a weird show. And it's a weird series. It's very mm-hmm. cartoony and over the top and off the wall. But he's right. That is definitely the way they're going to... That's definitely, like, true. That's basically the core of the show is... Yeah, the pain we all have. We have a past that really kind of informs who we are, but it doesn't need to define who we are. And it's not just about, like, rising above it. I think the biggest... indicator of that is Nami's story in Arlong Park, where she basically has spent her entire life trying to do everything to save her village from, you know, a certain pirate crew, like her entire life, basically been oppressed. And she has these walls that she puts up around her and doesn't let anybody get close. And it isn't until she finally asks for help that she finally realizes, like, oh, I don't have to do this all by myself. So it's like, yes. Yeah, you need to motivate yourself, but you also should find people, and you don't need to feel the need to basically bear everything on your shoulders. And yeah, that's textbook One Piece, and that's kind of like it in many different ways, in many different arcs. That's kind of a recurring theme.
I'm not even halfway through the first arc, and I can already tell. Well, themes like that are massive in the anime series. Again, I can't speak for the manga.
I mean, it's mostly the same. It's just that the manga is much better paced. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
But I will say this, because I know the part you're talking about where it felt like forever is when they were fighting in the Captain Kuro arc where they're fighting on that hill. I will say that when he says, you have 5 minutes left, I got flashbacks to Dragon Ball Z with Frieza.
Yes.
But the thing is that lasted... like 5 minutes in the episode. It legitimately lasted like five minutes or 10 minutes maybe. But, and then it was like, okay, time's up. It was like, it didn't last several episodes, that 5 minutes.
No, it wasn't like the last 3 minutes of Namek taking up five episodes.
Yep, that was ridiculous.
five 30-minute episodes of Dragon Ball Z.
So,
but we all ate it up, and we couldn't wait to watch.
Hell yeah,
Goku transform.
Yeah. And anyways, he went on to talk about boiling down One Piece to the three important elements. He says, It makes you cry, or excuse me, it makes you laugh, it makes you cry, it makes you go, holy shit. If you have one of those moments in every single episode, we will have done our job tonally. So they are going to be leaning full bore into the emotional aspects of the show, which I think is great. I think it's good.
Yeah, there's a way to really get into the thick of it without making suspension of belief too bad. I mean, fuck, we used to live in the era of the MCU, so...
What do you mean, used to? Because of COVID?
Anything is possible. Yeah, I'm pretty upset about the push and how far everything moved, like moving things into existing MCU movie spaces instead of creating new earlier spaces. But it goes back weeks and weeks to an episode Brian and I talked about. It was a business analyst. I don't remember if he was Motley Fool or not, but business analyst who had said, you know, I don't think people, regardless of theaters being open, he didn't think people would even be in general going. Because do you know that it was up to 70? I think it was
variety. People in general wouldn't what?
People in general aren't going to theaters, despite the fact that 70% of theaters actually did open in America.
That's correct. Yeah.
People just didn't go. They didn't go for Tenet. They didn't go for New Mutants. They didn't go for anything. And so as an MCU fan, of course I'm disappointed, because I want to watch stuff, and I know how time sensitive things are, because you can see where they're playing with the schedule, because now we're actually going to get Shang-Chi before we get the Eternals.
It's crazy, right? Yeah. So let's clarify this a bit. So
sure.
Yesterday, I believe it was confirmed that they would be pushing Black Widow to May of next year, as opposed to, I believe it was November of this year. Furthermore, Shang-Chi was pushed from that May date to, I believe, a July date. And most strangely, Eternals from February to November. So Eternals was originally going to be after Black Widow, but before Shang-Chi. But now it's going to be after both Shang-Chi and Black Widow. And it's also worth noting, Falcon and the Winter Soldier was originally supposed to come out in August, but that's up in the air right now. And then only after that were we supposed to get WandaVision. But now WandaVision is the first Marvel property we're going to be getting.
Yeah.
Since Spider-Man Far From Home.
Originally not supposed to come out until spring of 2021, WandaVision.
No, WandaVision. WandaVision was, I don't think, was ever set for 2021.
Yeah, it was.
Are you sure?
Yeah, original. Let's see here. Original phase.
Because as far as I remember, SDCC. It was supposed to be by the end of the year.
Let me see. At San Diego Comic-Con, I've got a photo of it right now with the screen up. It was supposed to be May 1st, 2020, Widow, Fall 2020, Winter Soldier, Falcon, Winter Soldier, November 6th, 2020, Eternals, and then February 12th, 21 was Shang-Chi, followed by Spring 2021, WandaVision.
You're right. Look at that.
Doc Strange in May. Loki, Spring 2021, What If Season 1, Summer 2021, Hawkeye, Fall 2021, and Thor, Love and Thunder 2021. I can't confirm, because I only looked at one article yesterday, but I saw that the Spider-Man movie's been moved to December 2021, so we're still going to get four films next year. Mm-hmm. Do you know if that's true?
I mean, I didn't see that, but I could double check it really quick. Spider-Man 3 release date.
Homecoming 3 move.
But I mean, that sounds like it would make sense.
Yeah.
But it would make sense because Sony basically said they're not going to release anything until this thing goes away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see anything.
Release. I want to say it was like Screen Rant or something, because I don't think they're going to make...
Oh, so yeah, September 14th. Yeah.
You see it where it looks like it moved?
Yes, I believe that was a couple weeks ago. Let me double check just to make sure. Okay. Long story short, hold on.
So
we'll release in the UK and the US cinemas December 17th, 2021. This is from Digital Spy.
Yeah, okay. I knew I had read it somewhere. I think they cited somebody else, maybe not. But this just goes to show you what an utter disappointment Mulan was for them. And
yeah.
I really think that came down to two things. One, pricing. I do think it was $5 too much, especially for the first time to try and do hybrid VOD theater releases. And number two, who I don't think it was quite advertised correctly.
Okay.
I think people looked at it too much as there was seemed to be, especially on the day that it was announced, mm-hmm. of what would be happening. There seemed to be a lot of confusion about, is it a rental? Do you get to permanently own it digitally? Mm-hmm. Will it be available on more things? And Disney answered all these questions, but they answered them all in like little press releases instead of like advertising showing that, hey, you know,
own it forever.
I would have even made a commercial with words like, for the cost of taking your family to the theater, you can own Mulan. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would
advertise it in a way that
I would have done it,
like,
that way.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, made sure people understood this was a replace. This isn't just a home video release. This is a replacement for a theater experience that you usually do. Most people that go out in a couple tend to get at least a soda and some sort of snack to share. So $30 for a couple to go to a movie by themselves, that's not completely unheard of.
Yeah.
But I do think $25.99 or $24.99 would have been the better starting point. And we knew Mulan was going to have some issues because of the actress and the Hong Kong star. We knew that there was going to be potential issues with viewers because of the lady that plays Mulan.
I think it's Yifei Liu.
And her coming out against the Hong Kong protesters and in support of the CCP-backed police. So I'm disappointed overall as a Marvel fan because I want more Marvel, but mostly just because I think they could have played around with the dates more. Like that analyst going all the way back to what I was talking about earlier is that analysts had specifically looked at Disney, and Brian and I had covered where they were like mid 2021 before theaters are making money again, and that's the ones that survive to that long, because you had a whole bunch of theaters. Like I said, it was something like 70% of the theaters opened up, most timed with Tenet, and I don't know if it was lack of advertisement or if it's more. There's people
so many
like
factors.
You than there are me.
Yeah, there's so many factors.
What's
out
that?
There as far as like why that thing failed.
Yeah.
Or once again, we don't know for sure if it failed, but the fact that they're not rushing out to put Black Widow seems to be indicative that, like, oh, it didn't do good enough. And yeah, between that and Tenet, it makes sense that they're going to push it because, yeah, there are probably more people like me who aren't going to go to theaters until we have, you know, a vaccine or something. Then there are of you who are just like, hey, I'll go. So yeah, that sucks. And it is interesting how they're kind of shuffling things around. But at the end of the day, it's not like the films have been super tied together in terms of each one needs to be viewed after another. In most cases.
No, but it is interesting. I wonder when we will get Falcon and Winter Soldier now. It should be, because it was originally supposed to come out before Black Widow anyways. I don't see why we still can't get it out say, hopefully February, March, mm-hmm. Before Black Widow hits in May. I do want to correct myself. It was 70% of AMC theaters were to open, according to the Wrap.
I wonder if they ever did open.
Certain locations in certain cities had different regulations, but that's where I got that 70% number, and it was came from the Wrap earlier in the month and mentioned AMC opening 70% of the theaters for Tenet release.
Yeah, I remember when that was happening that they planned on 70%. I don't know if they ever did. I know for a fact I did hear about, unfortunately, Warner Brothers kind of convinced a lot of theaters, hey, Tenet's coming out, it's going to be great, support us, blah, blah, blah. And they did, and basically they're worse off now because they're basically running at a deficit in order to get Tenet up there, and the movie didn't make enough in order for them. Like, it seems like it's doing okay for Warner Brothers, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's doing okay for this for the theaters, which is it's unfortunate.
Yeah. I like I said, I wholly expect us to start hearing of hundreds of chain theater shutdowns as theaters look at, okay, which of our properties barely make it during normal operations, and which of our operations do really well during normal operations? Because I mean, they're paying leases on buildings and rents and taxes and things on land that and facilities that aren't being used. It's just it's smart business sense when the unknowns are so fucking unknown,
yeah.
That you would start saying, okay, my community over here has 3 AMCs. We can afford to close one of them, you know, something like that. Which is going to suck for a lot of people, losing jobs, businesses that rely on food businesses that rely on local theaters for immediately before and after movies. You know, people like to go out to dinner, or at least I know me and my friends, we always liked to go out to eat either right before or right after a movie. Like, there's a lot of factors that go into it all.
Yeah, there really are. And, like, that's the thing, is that you can't really dictate, like, oh, this is the problem, because you can't necessarily isolate the variables as much as you would want to.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think, unfortunately, in retrospect, Mulan was not the ideal candidate to do the premiere access thing. I think
I still think Black Widow.
Black Widow was definitely the right one because it had no controversy. It was a part of a beloved franchise, and pretty much everyone was rooting for that one to succeed. Whereas, you know, obviously Mulan, first of all, it was beloved, but also people were kind of unsure about it. And then you have the political stuff between Hong Kong and mainland China. And then you have the idea of where it doesn't really commit to its own cultural identity. And therefore you have a lot of people who sort of just like, no, this is American as fuck. Like, this is kind of like, as an Asian person, this is insulting to me or whatever. Like, those are the types of things
that, and it didn't, I heard a lot of people that were, while I was looking forward to the war epic aspect of it, I heard a lot of people complain about the Mulan character herself.
Yeah, she's boring.
Complain that not only was this not enough like the original cartoon, that it doesn't even give enough like war movie to satiate that aspect.
Yeah, it's like all the other. If you want an Asian war movie, go watch something like Hero. It does it way better. If you want an interesting female lead, literally watch any movie with a female lead. They'll be more interesting than Mulan, unfortunately, because she just was not interesting. She was kind of just bland. It felt like they were afraid to give her flaws in this one, or afraid to give her any sort of strong personality one way or the other. She was really sort of white bread or milk toast in style. She was just really kind of blah. So yeah, a lot of flaws in the movie in short. So yeah, it's,
which is why I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Yeah. You probably wouldn't be too super stoked on it, but you'll watch it when it comes out on Disney Plus, like what, December, right?
Yeah. Because Christine still, it was basically just like after everything we heard about it, it was like, because at first I was down to pay the $30. Like, that's cheaper than a movie date for me and Christine, because we got to get a babysitter, but can't really get a babysitter right now because of, well, you know. So $30 wasn't that big of a deal, but once we read even non-spoiler reviews, it was like, okay, I don't think I want to spend the $30 on this. Mm-hmm. But it's unfortunate. A lot of 2021's, if the theaters do open up, people do start going back to the theaters again by spring 2021. It's going to be a full fucking year. There's a lot of WB stuff. There's a lot of Marvel.
I don't think it's all going to hit. I think people are just putting stuff out there right now just to kind of see where things land. And then once that happens, we'll start to probably see things push, because things will start to get crowded. And then they'll be like, oh no. So yeah, I think it will be crowded, especially compared to 2020, but I don't think things are necessarily going to stay where they are, because once things start to take off, it's going to be like, they're going to realize, A, they're still not making quite as much money as they would before, so they have to wait for audiences to continue to get comfortable. My guess, it wouldn't be until maybe this time, or maybe a little bit later next year, that people are going to be able to go full swing into theaters again. Yeah, it'll take time. It'll take time, but hopefully, like, I'm down for an overbearing year after what we had this year. Like, I'm ready for lots of stuff. Give me all of the movies. And I think more than
stuff
anything,
to talk about, stuff to write about, stuff to have fun discussing on our LRM Discord about.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, I mean, for me, it's made me realize more than anything how much I am more of a movie person than I am like a TV show person.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, oh man, there's like nothing to go for. They got nothing. I'm gonna watch Enola Holmes probably tomorrow or something, which will be fun. I don't know how good it is, but it seems like it's fun.
Tomorrow's The Boys, so right? Yeah. Tomorrow's the last two or three episodes of The Boys.
I need
Boys.
To get more into The Boys. I'm only still only four episodes in.
I've enjoyed
it. Yeah, it's a good show. Well, it's enough. A good show for sure. I just still haven't gotten deep into it.
I know they're doing season two of Carnival Row, but I want some announcements on that, because I was shocked by how good that actually turned out.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were some stuff. I think they just started production last week, or they restarted production last week, or they were going to. There was some report on it, but sadly, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a hit of a show. But, you know, I would expect something next year, like maybe this time next year.
You liked it too, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
I was the one other person who watched it apart from you.
Yeah, we were like surprised at how little, because the advertisements made the romance seem like it might be a lot heavier than it is.
They leaned hard into the romance and the advertising. It was super cheesy. the way they advertised it.
And not only that, but the romance that they were advertising, I don't even think that's the real main romance of the show. I think it's the that one dude's sister, and I'm not going to give anything away. I know it's been a while since season one came out, but hopefully people go check out Carnival Row.
I don't even remember who that one dude's sister is that you're talking about.
Oh, the blonde girl and the magical creature that's rich that moves across away from them.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, like there's more focus given on their relationship of sorts than Orlando Bloom and Cara
Delevingne. Delevingne, I think.
Delevingne. Okay. But yeah. Anyways, I'm excited for that. But yeah, movies. I miss movies. I miss going to movies. I fucking miss movies. Oh, anime. I know we got to get out of here, but I wanted to say I watched I've been watching Infinite Dendrogram, I think is how it's pronounced. It's one of those that are like there's that trend of where you get stuck in an MMO or something
that.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, there's like that genre of anime going on over the last year or two. It's one of those. He's not stuck. He can come out of the MMO whenever he wants, but the main character spends a lot of time in the game, and it's just it takes them forever to dub. And because I saw it dubbed first, that's how I have to forever watch it.
I feel you. Yeah.
And I watched an interesting, not a great one. It's not a Full Metal, not a Dr. Stone, not even a Death Parade, but a fun little thing called Knights and Magic.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, a computer programmer in modern days dies and is reincarnated in the body of a kid in an alternate timeline where magic mechs exist and stuff like that, and he's real adept at magic because he approaches it from like a computer programmer point of mind, and it's fun. Knights of Magic. If you've got Funimation, check it out.
Yeah. But okay. Yeah. I might.
Anything else you wanted to say or discuss?
No.
Or,
I think we're good. Ready to call plug. It.
Cool. Thanks everyone for listening. Make sure you check out lrmonline.com every day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Please be sure to subscribe and share our YouTube channel. Lots of great celebrity interviews there, as well as the LRM Online podcast network. Great shows such as Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast on Fridays, and of course LR Mornings every Monday through Friday, as well as a bunch of other shows that are all connected with us. Please like, share, and subscribe. That's how we get to be shown to new people that don't know about us. Thank you to algorithms and things. So yeah, Jammer, where can people find you at?
You could find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter, all of my entertainment stuff at lrmonline.com, and of course, last but not least, you can check out all of my books under the name AJ Cerna, that's Cerna, in Audible and Amazon.
You guys can argue with me, fight with me at That Kyle Malone on Twitter or somewhere in the comments below. Let us know what you think about today's topics. And thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Later.